In my years of preaching, I do not know how many times I've preached out of this passage. Hasn't been too many months that we looked at another portion of this here at church. I'm just going to read one verse, and we're going to key in on a certain aspect this morning. Luke chapter number 15, I'm going to just read verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. A certain man had two sons. Of all the fathers in the scripture, the father of this text here probably is spoken of more than any others combined. This passage is a very familiar passage concerning the Lord's illustrations and things that he gives concerning the lost coming to know Christ, how they are found, and then sometimes the struggle that takes place in the life of the individual that comes to know the Lord. All too often we gather most of our thoughts concerning this last portion of this scripture concerning this foolish son. He's called the prodigal. He left home. A lack of conviction swayed him that he felt as though that he could discard all authority. The lack of his conviction made him determined that he was going to display his ability, that he could do what he wanted to do. And we key in on that quite a bit. His confusion shattered him, and his future certainly got to the point that it frightened him. And then he comes back to his father. We've preached hundreds of times upon this prodigal son, this foolish boy that left home. We talk about his going to a far country. There's a famine that arises, and he feeds the swine, and all of a sudden his soul feels faint. He said, I have much better at home, even as a servant. His friends have forsaken him, and he's left all alone. He has a brother when he gets home that fights against him. But I want us to key in this morning on this man that had two sons. That makes him a father. That makes him in the position that he has certain things that we need to look at. And our desires this morning is that we will be able to look at this father that had some character about him that made him a great individual. Very few times have we preached just upon the father. He had two sons. One stayed home, and by the way he stayed home, he still was a rebel. And one left as a rebel that came back. So this morning I want us to contemplate a few moments upon this father's house, instead of the far country, instead of all these other things that we've mentioned. It's a very simple, very easy message, something that I hope we can take to our heart and realize here upon this Father's Day 2016, we can do things for our children. As we look at this man, you tell the story. He is an individual that continued working just as he had always worked. I believe as we read the scripture here, and we'll not take time to read these verses, they're very familiar, and we're just going to talk about this man on our thoughts, that he continued and he stayed by the stuff while he was there at his farm. He was at his place, and he continued faithful unto the Lord. You and I this morning, we may have children that are rebellious. We may have children that may be home and rebellious. We may have children that are very well off in serving the Lord, but it's never right to give up those things just in order to have things happen that we desire. The father here did not sell out his ideals. He did not give in. He did not give up. He just stayed true to what he had always been. He continued being faithful unto his family. And I believe consistency in our lifetime, in our generation, is very, very important. We see so much inconsistency around us. It doesn't matter if it's the business world. It doesn't matter if it's family. It doesn't matter if it's church. We see very much inconsistency. People are way far, too far gone to stay by the stuff. It's whatever they desire, however the feeling hits them this particular time or this day, then that's how you see them. But you and I this morning, as a child of God, especially you and I that are fathers, we certainly need to stay by the things of what we have been taught and what we've learned and just be faithful to continue in the work of the Lord. The father did not change to accommodate his son. Now I can imagine as a father, and you this morning that are parents, whether it be mothers or fathers, we sometimes can't imagine how this particular individual felt when his son came to him and said, "I want what I deserve." He better be glad his father didn't give him what he deserved. The father gave him what he asked for. He said, I want you to give me those things that belong to me." And so the father gave him that. And of course, we know the story of how the young man was foolish, goes out and spends it in riotous living, and loses everything he had other than his thoughts of what he had at home. But the father did not change to accommodate his son. He stayed faithful to what he had always done. He stayed faithful to the work that had been given to him as a father. We as parents, we need to stay faithful, stay true. And sometimes the older we get, the more we realize, well, maybe I don't need to struggle so hard. Maybe I don't need to fight so hard for these principles and ideals that I've stood for. But the older we get, the more we should certainly stand true to the things of God's Word so that those coming up behind us can say, if they can do that, if he can do that, certainly I can live according as God gives to us. We have children that leave our homes. They go off to college. They get married. And sometimes we change because now we have a little more freedom. We don't have to live as close to the Lord as maybe we should as we see our children in our home, and we begin to falter a little bit. But this man did not. I believe he stayed faithful. I believe he stayed true to the work of the Lord and to the Word of God. His labor did not change, and definitely his love did not change for his son. His love stayed continually for this young man that had left him. So the father didn't change to accommodate. He cared for his child. The Bible says in verse number 20, he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And so here we find the father cared for this boy. Doesn't tell us how long he was gone, doesn't tell us how many miles he left, doesn't tell us how far away he got, but it does tell us that he came to himself, to his senses. He said, "My father's house has much better. Even the servants have it better than I have. So I'm going to go home." And here the father in his care and love saw him a long way before the son saw him. I'm glad this morning my God knows where I am. Doesn't matter if I'm close to him or far away from him. God knows where I am, and he looks and anticipates the day that I come because he loves us. God, our Heavenly Father, loves us with an unchanging, an unending love that will never diminish, will never go out of existence because we belong to him and he is our Heavenly Father. And so we can't bring it down to a earthly father. My father was always my father. I didn't always please him. He usually let me know when I didn't please him. I had many different ways of letting me know that, but I never did change the position of being his son and him being my father. My father cared for me. Our Heavenly Father cares for us. He loved him. And there was no anger in this father's heart toward his son. He wasn't angry. I believe he was hurt. I believe he was broken. I believe he was had a contrite heart and spirit about him and had continually looked for that son to come home. But there was no anger that was in his heart that was given to us in the Word of God. He had nothing but pity for his poor son that had gone and got in a terrible condition. Now he knows that one day he's going to come back. He realizes that one day that wayward child will come back because of the household that he lived in and that he had been given to as a child. The Bible doesn't say anything here about this this man's wife. Doesn't say anything about this boy's mother. Some people believe that it's probably because maybe the mother had died and this man's raising these children by himself. The scripture doesn't tell us that. But one thing for sure, the father's love never was diminished. He loved his son continually. He cared for him deeply, and he was consistent in his actions toward his son. Now, there's some things here that's given to us that this father did. When this boy comes home, he makes some announcements to his servants. He says, you go do this, go get these different things. My son that was dead, he's now alive. And if you look in the verses, you'll find that this man had a calf that had been awaiting the day that his son returned. It was a stalled calf. Said, go get the fatted calf. And I've used this a lot of times, even just recently. This man realized that one day his son was coming home, and so he wanted to be prepared for that day. And he had a fatted calf. He had put this calf up. He maybe had put it up from the time his son had left him. Doesn't tell us, but there was a calf that was awaiting the day of the return of his son. And he says, you go get the stalled calf. You go get that fatted calf. We're going to have a feast. My son has come home. He was consistent day in and day out, giving that calf what he needed and what it needed in order to anticipate the son's return. He says also, they says, go get a robe to put upon him. Had that special robe prepared for the day of his son's return and his welcoming home. He had a ring that's called a signet ring. It's a ring that would make an impression. He said, you put a ring upon his finger. And then he says, you put shoes on his tired feet. He has gone away. He has made his way back. Now we're going to celebrate. Now we're going to rejoice. And all of this was because his father consistently believed in the return of his son. We may get away from the Lord, but there's a way that God has to bring us back to the Lord. This boy got away from his father. Of course, the father represents our heavenly father. He got away from him, but the father said, he'll be back. You and I this morning, we may get away from our Lord. We may get a distance away from our God, but he knows how to get our attention to bring us back home. Now, we may lose our friends in the process. This boy did. We may lose our finances in the process. This boy did. We may lose everything. There may be a famine in the land. But God knows how to ring our bell. God knows how to get attention to us. Whatever it takes, God can use to bring us back home. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we are hard-hearted and hard-headed. But God still knows how to do that. And so this father, he had two sons. One leaves, one stays home, and he is consistently looking forward to that time that young man will come once again. So he continued doing what he'd always done. He continued working on the farm. He continued just serving and being a father that he should have been. He commenced waiting. He continued to wait for his son. He continued to serve his family and serve his other son. And as he did that, he anticipated the day that his other boy would come home. Waiting in prayer, waiting in the principles of God's word, waiting in the prospect that he's coming. He's coming back, doing all that he knew to do, and he's waiting and asking God. His son would come home one day, and as that boy topped that last hill, the Bible says he saw him from a far distance. How did he see him? Why did he see him? Because he's looking for him. Now, if he'd just been busy about business and taking care of other things, the boy could have got almost home before the father knew it. But he looked forward to him coming. So every day he anticipated, he's coming home. My boy is going to come home, and I'm going to look for him until I see him. I'm going to continue to stay steadfast looking for him. You know, sometimes the hardest part of the Christian life is what? Waiting. I don't like to wait. I'm very, very impatient. And somebody told me, those few weeks that you couldn't talk, did that give you any patience? I said, not a bit. It just made me more impatient. And the struggles that come. And so we find that this man He waited patiently for his son. You know, for some of us, God waits patiently for us to, first of all, come to him. He gives us opportunity after opportunity to become a Christian, to become a child of God. He waits for us. He waits upon us. He deals with our heart. He speaks to us. He lets us know our need, and he just simply waits for us. And one day, it's almost like a light that comes on. We believe and trust him as our personal Savior. Then we go through cycles. All of us do that. We get saved, we're happy, we're bubbly, we're enjoying the things of the Lord, and then it begins to get cold, and we become a little indifferent, and our struggles come, and we're maybe not as faithful as we used to be, we're not doing what we used to do, and we get a far distance from God. Oh, we may be busy, we may be active, we may be doing everything that we've always done, but our heart is a long way from God. You know what our Father does? He waits patiently for us to come home. He waits for us once again. And he never becomes impatient like we do. Love never gives up. Love holds on. Love holds out. It cannot be conquered. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Sometimes we need direction from God. And when I'm asking the Lord for something specific, I want him to answer me right now. Lord, I have this need. Would you please show me which direction to go? Would you show me somehow, some way, leadership out of your word? How am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And by the way, I believe we ought to pray about everything we do. Everything. Some of us may be waiting patiently right now for the Lord to say this or to say something else. And it's hard to wait upon the Lord. It's difficult because I want the answer now so I can take care of it. Take care of the need, and Lord, help us in that. But David says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Of all people in the Scripture, David is one that was able to say that because of his impatient heart that he had. The Bible says, therefore, I look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah 7 and verse 7. Isaiah 30 and verse 18 says, blessed are they that wait for him. A whole lot of the process of being a Christian is waiting. A whole lot of the struggles of a child of God sometimes is just stand still and know that I'm God. Just wait upon him. How do we wait? We wait in prayer. We wait according to the word of God. We wait in the principles of his word. We serve him. And then we find there is a conclusion of all the waiting. As I said, we don't know how long the boy was gone. Doesn't tell how many days, months, weeks, possibly years. But there was a conclusion of the matter, and there will be a conclusion in our heart. We're all coming to a conclusion of things. And this man, as he had two sons, there in verse 11. A certain man, doesn't tell us who he is, doesn't give us his name, he just had two sons. A faithful father. And his waiting brought about a conclusion to the matter, and it was a rejoicing time. All the working for that day was over. All the watching for that day was over. All the waiting now has become rich and real. It has come to a conclusion that he saw him. It has come to the conclusion now that he has looked and he sees this boy. He realizes that is my son coming home. And the Bible says he ran out and he fell and had compassion upon his son. So all the days of working and watching and waiting, they're over. He comes and he kisses him. And the tears of joy that must have flowed. The prodigal son that had left his father in pride and arrogance and probably stiff-necked and flaunting everything. I've got my way. I'm doing my thing. I'm leaving. Now he comes back limped and broken and sorrowful. He left out clean and probably in pretty good shape. He comes back pretty dirty because he's been down in the hog pen. He's been down where they fed the swine. And for a Jew to feed the swine, that would be the lowest of jobs that could have ever been. Why, he couldn't even partake of the joy of heaven bacon and sausage and all that good stuff. But here he is feeding an old dirty pig. And he comes to the point, he said, well, I'm so hungry, I believe I'll just take the husk off of what I'm feeding them. So he comes back broken. He comes back sorrowful. He comes back repentant. He comes back realizing that what he had done had been a terrible thing to his life and to his father's life. And he said, had his speech all worked out. He said, when I get home, I'm going to tell my father, I'm going to say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. He had it all figured out. When I get home, I'm going to tell Dad, just make me a servant. Just make me no more, no better, no higher than who you've hired as to be your servant. This boy comes back in a different condition. But now he's come back in a position that he can receive the blessings of his father. You see, before he left, he didn't have the fatted calf. He didn't have the robe. He didn't have the ring. He didn't have the shoes. Because he didn't need all that. He had everything. He comes back empty. He comes back broken. And his father gives him those four things. And he says, I'm no more worthy to be thy servant. Notice verse 21. The son follows through with what he's going to say to his father. The son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven, against thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Now notice he does not say, make me a hired servant. You know why? Because the father interrupted him. The father stopped him. He had the speech. He said, I'm not worthy to be thy son. Just make me a hired servant. He doesn't say that to his father. What does the next verse say? Or the next portion? But the father said to his servants. The father says to those who he's hired, he said, you go take care of the calf. We're gonna have a feast. My son was dead, and now he's alive. The best way, and I know it's easy to say if you have not been there, but according to the Scripture, the best way to have our children back as they should be is for us just to stay doing what we've always done. To wait upon the Lord. This father had two boys that he had to deal with. One was a rebel. He rebelled against his father. He leaves. The other boy stays at home and everything looks pretty good. But his heart was in rebellion against his father and his brother. He gets mad because his brother comes home. You read the rest of the story. We usually leave this out. But the elder son, he's in the field doing what he's supposed to do. And he says, Father, you never given me a feast. You've never given me a ring. You've never put a robe on my back. You've never put shoes on my feet. Oh, he'd done that continually, but he didn't recognize it. And so he is, hears the music and the dancing and all the festivities. He calls the servant. He says, What's going on? What do these things mean? Verse 27, the servant says, thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28, and he was angry. This father had to deal with two different kinds of rebellion. And you find that he goes on and he comes to his father. He said, I've never transgressed at any time thy commandment, verse 29. Yet thou hast never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this day, as soon as this thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living. He said, not only that, he's devoured it with harlots. Here's the Pharisee of the crowd. He's not what I am. He's not as good as I am. Look what he has done. And thou hast killed for him fatted calf. Verse 31, here again is the attitude of the father. And he said unto him, Son, I can just hear the tone of voice. Here's the rebel speaking. You've never done anything for me. And the father says, Son, thou art with me, and all that I have is thine. You've got it all, and did not even recognize it. He says in verse 32, and it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, he was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. The father had to deal with two sons of rebellion. One was the open, known, everybody understood. He's gone. And one was the quiet rebel in the house that hated his brother when he came home. You know what? The father still was consistent. He continued. He was steadfast. And he says, you ought to be happy. Your son, your brother was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. Praise God, one day I was lost and now I got found. I was dead and I came to life one day when I trusted the Lord. And if you're saved this morning, same experience. Might be a different place, different preacher, different circumstances, but if you're a Christian, you were dead and now you're alive. You were lost, now you're found. And I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father that's illustrated in this Father. No hatred toward His sons, no anger toward His sons, just compassion. May we be fathers this morning of compassion. That when our children do wrong, not if, but when they do wrong. Problem with part of our problem today in our country, some people think their children never do anything wrong. But everybody does things wrong. May we be parents, may we be mothers and fathers. When we see that, we have compassion on them, understanding they just need direction from our God. May the Lord help us this morning here on Father's Day. May we as fathers give illustration, as illustrated to us, what kind of father we ought to be. May we just stay by the stuff. May we continue and may we conclude with a good conclusion that everything will be well as a God-honoring person. Let's stand together this morning.